Hello, folks, and welcome to the first QS Insider Discord exclusive podcast. I don't really have a name for this yet, so we're just going with hashtag ChazCast or one pick, one topic, one prospect, one topic. I try to get away from pick because I just feels like everybody does that. But so this is going to be exclusively to Discord, as I talked about earlier in the month with the new workflow. Discord is a great platform that I can just upload these directly to Discord. And again, these will stay directly to Discord, as you know, just hoping to just make create more content for you all, have it be in-house, have it be for the Discord users. So appreciate everyone for bearing with me and giving the extra time. On today's, for this cast, Guilds of Ravnica is around the corner. There was a lot of, obviously there's a lot of hype every time, especially in the Discord, within the spoilers channel, everybody kind of giving their input, everybody kind of going nuts, everybody getting in on a lot of different actionables and lucrative stuff. It's always great. So this is kind of my take on this. We've had two versus series from Star City Games. There was one yesterday and the one before that where I tried to cast, but didn't want to compete with that. But we got a glimpse into, where this may be going, where this train may be headed now that, we have a full rotation, everyone's looking at guilds, what's good. Now keep in mind, it is Star City Games. They do sell cards, they try to showcase the cards, Like, there's a little bit of marketing there. So we do want to take it with a little bit of grain of salt, but it still doesn't detract from good cards, obviously showing that they're good. So the first couple things that I wanted to take away from that is Doom Whisperer, in my view, will likely be the best mythic coming out of the set. Firstly, because in a roundabout way, it kind of counteracts Assassin's Trophy. Now I know like Dies to Assassin's Trophy is kind of like a thing, but realistically, if you're pairing, if you're pairing Doom Whisperer with early threats like Legion Warboss or other early threats that demand a answer early, and folks, if the meta is shifting into Assassin's Trophy as the go-to removal, that actually is, that puts Doom Whisperer as almost like a roundabout way to counter that, because you're just ramping into Doom Whisperer faster. And Doom Whisperer is a absurd card and has done nothing but insane stuff when I watched it on the Versus streams. The card is just, it's a 5-mana, 6/6 evasive creature with upside. And I really don't know how much better you can make it. So that's kind of my first reaction. Second reaction was Assassin's Trophy is going to be doing a lot of things. But, my hot take is, and, kind of watching, some of the literature coming out about this now that like we have the full spoiler, is that it may not actually be that good or as good in standard as it is in the older format. It's a great card, but it almost kind of reminds me of Path to Exile. When Path to Exile was back in standard, it was like you had to use it, but it's almost like it could lead to some blowout moments like from the other side when folks were ramping like Boat Brew into Revelark and starting their whole thing, Path to Exile was kind of in that odd spot. Like you had to use it because it was so efficient, but it ramped, your opponent into insane stuff. And that's kind of like how I feel with Assassin's Trophy, that at least in standard, they thought this through enough to say, well, if you're going to be using Assassin's Trophy, obviously it's insane, but you're going to potentially be ramping your opponent into a faster Teferi, a faster Doom Whisperer, what have you. And I think we have enough early game threats, like Legion Warboss, which also looked amazing on stream, that, I think that's where a lot of these decks are going to be going, is try to land that early threat, demand the removal, and then ramp into my like Teferi or my Doom Whisperer, what have you. Right. So that's where I was. That's kind of my initial thoughts and hot takes from the Versus series. Another couple interesting things were the mid-rangey kind of grindiness of this upcoming standard because of the mana bases now seem really good. I mean, Buddy Land and Shockland always was, they really worked harmoniously, and it doesn't seem like too hard to get into three colors, especially two colors. But yeah, it just, it seemed good. And it just kind of seems like that's where folks are going to be starting. But these aggressive strategies also seem really good, because cards like History of Benalia, cards like Legion's Landing, like all those cards are still around. And the one amazing thing about Discord is we have so many people in this Discord, and we have all these different, you know, store owners. So shout out to Sean Johnson again, kind of giving us some data from their store, Brute Force, about what they were selling recently. So I just want to go back to that really quickly. Gosh, hold on, just give me a minute. 64 Moldrothas sold in the last week, 47 Clifftop Retreats, 40-plus Woodland Cemetery, Overgrown Tomb, and Leonin War Leaders in the last 3 days. $349, $799, and $0.75, respectively. 53 Benelash Marshall sold in the last couple days, 99 cents. And I'm sure they sold their fair share of History of Benalia as well. Jerry was giving huge praise to Aggro in his premium article. Yeah, Tajik is really solid too. But History of Benalia, especially with the mana base now of two colors, of having buddy lands and shock lands, especially having green white, you can reliably cast, you know, Land of War Elves into History of Benalia on turn two, and that just seems insane. And then from there you can go Leon and War Leader, and then from there you can go either Divine Inter. What's that mythic? You can go that route. Some folks are talking about Tristani. So there's a lot of different things you can do. But yeah, I think, you know, that sale reporting from Sean is almost email worthy, but I wanted to at least provide it in the Discord and kind of have it, you know, set in a podcast that those are definitely selling. And Moldrotha, I'm not as high on Moldrotha only because I feel like that would be a one of, but it is a mythic, so we kind of have to like keep our eye on it, because if it's suddenly being used a lot, it could increase regardless if it's only played as a one of. But the other stuff, like Benelesh Marshall under a dollar, seems insane, and Leonin War Leaders under a dollar seems insane too. And my prospect for this one, or pick for this cast, would be, I mean, we talked about it. It's obviously out there on the radar. Folks are definitely keeping their eye on it already. So this is not like, you know, I'm revolutionary in this sense, and I'm fully well okay with that. But History Benalia under $10 probably won't be a thing for too much longer. So yeah, Legion's Landing, Path of Metal, all that stuff. But History Benalia going from like $25 early on Dominaria to under $10, it definitely feels like this is going up and above double digits, firmly probably in the mid-teens, like $15, maybe even pushing almost 20, because it is a defining card. And with the mana bases as they are now, it's easier to cast off of a Land of War Elf, and feeds into other cards like even the, what is that, Loxodon? That one might be a sleeper too. The Loxodon with Convoke, you can Convoke that thing pretty quickly. If you go like Legion's Landing into, you know, something else, you know, Benalia, you can almost play that card on the same turn. So there's a lot of different lines you can take in that deck. But yeah, I think for this, definitely Legion's Landing. And I think Doom Whisper will likely be the best mythic. And as far as rares, I'm liking that Pelt Collector. And I'm kind of liking that the Convoke Loxodon and the what was the other one? Tajik. The problem with Tajik is it's a legendary, so it's kind of tough. Just trying to get to everyone's real quick. So trying to keep this quick. Appreciate everyone for joining in. Those were my takeaways. But yeah, they also tried to play like this Grixis mid-range list that actually looked pretty intriguing with the Spectre and Doom Whisperer. The Spectre is an interesting card as well, because I don't think, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think it matters what instance of the Spectre exiled the card. So, you know, you could potentially have a blowout later in the game when you could play their card that you exiled with the Spectre. I don't believe it matters, but so I like all those rares, but yeah, that those mythics, and I don't know. I mean, I got some pushback and flack, like we were arguing about this, and I know it likely won't be a four of like Anointed Procession, but what is the divine intervention, or what's the token maker that makes like 4/4s? I don't have it right in front of me. Divine Visitation. There we go. I don't know. That just seems like a really strong card, especially if you can get it out early. Like you can go Land of War Elves into History of Benalia into War Leader, and before you attack, you can go into Divine Visitation, and then you know your knight tokens that pop will be 4/4s after that, and your War Leader tokens will be 4/4s in attacking. Yeah, Lazav. Yeah, talked about the survey deck propped up by Sam Black and PVDDR in their podcast. Yeah, absolutely. They played it on the Versus series, so it was like Lazav, the Night Vale Spectre, and Doom Whisperer. But again, like I want to take stuff with a grain of salt. Like I know they're trying to hype all these different cards and all these different mythics and all these different rares to kind of drive sales. And like I know that may not be like the driving factor, but it is a factor to kind of consider. I just think everything else, like Doom Whisperer, is just a good card. Like you don't need to like build around the card or make a specific deck or whatever to have that card be good. And we're just looking at baseline powerful cards that you don't need anything else. And then those are the cards that are successful early on. So that's why I was kind of like, yeah, Lazav, that's an interesting interaction. Thank you, Guillaume. It was part of the combo. It's like you have Doom Whisperer, you have the Phantasm that gets +1/+1 counters. You have Lazav. Like that's an obviously cool interaction. It's definitely powerful. It may be a thing, but it's like, you know, Doom Whisperer is just a good card all the time, right? So that's kind of where I want to be, especially early on in a new format, is just normally the good cards that are just good are the ones everyone wants. Especially, you know, Teferi, Karn of the last set, those were just good cards. Teferi kind of just took off. Like people knew it was good, but they didn't know how good. I feel like it's kind of the same thing with like a card like Doom Whisperer. Like, oh, that's like awesome. Like it's a big evasive flyer. It's got like an ability. There's no upside. Like it's all upside. Like let's just price it like it's $15. Oh, that should be fine. And then a week from now, it's $25-$30 because it's all over the SCG Open. So first SCG Open should be really telling. We actually get Moto results now, you know, kind of how the schedule goes up until, the SCG. We should probably get them very soon. The Moto results, I think like right as we get the release or after pre-release or something like that. What's the time frame on that, Guillaume? I know that we get them like really quickly now. Yeah, so it's like right after release, it becomes live. It comes live on MTGO, and we get results very quickly. So we should see, you know, where everyone's head is at, and that should give us a really good chance to see what's lucrative. And obviously, it'll be a discussion in the Discord. They made GRN available Wednesday. Oh, okay, that's interesting. All right, so any last minute questions? You know, I covered my Guilds of Ravnica topic. You know, I have my kind of Guilds of Ravnica card that I'm kind of high on, a couple of the cards, so I'm kind of breaking my own rule, but it's okay. And then my kind of evergreen, this is going to be good in standard prospect. Anything else? Last minute things, folks? Want to keep this short? All right, so that's going to wrap it up. Thank you very much. This is going literally right up to Discord after I stop recording, so you can listen to it there. And there will be more of these, a lot more of these in the future. So hopefully this will be great content for you all. And thank you all again for bearing with me. I really appreciate it. So that's going to sign it out for the first Discord exclusive podcast. Yeah, see you all soon.